Welcome, everybody, back to Brainstorm Brewery. This is not quite as special as last week, but still pretty special because we don't have as many awesome guests this week, but we do still have an awesome guest with us for our Hour of Devastation set.
We have two guests.
Well, one person, I don't know, guest is like pretty strong. One of them's just kind of here. Right? Like.
Oh, no, wait. Isn't DJ official? Didn't we get up to $700, which is our mark for making DJ official?
Well, we hit it.
But he has to do the
but he's not
finance.
Official yet.
That's yeah. Right. Everybody, if you would like to go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and say this donation is to offset a donation that got us to that goal, you can buy DJ off the cast if that's what you'd like to do.
Oh, that's good.
Otherwise, just contribute to our Patreon. We really appreciate the support. We use that money to buy a better microphone for Corbin. And
also to ship out Vegas. Sweet swag, which is going to happen at some point this week.
Yeah, I still have a few pint glasses. We may have to re-up our order. We ordered hundreds of those things, and like I'm almost out, so that's cool.
So in addition to DJ, who is just a person who's here, we also have a real guest this week. We have welcome to Phil DeLuca of the Commander In podcast, which is one of the several really great podcasts for Commander that we listen to. So welcome to the cast, man. How's it going?
Well, I do appreciate that you're having me on to talk about the slow set. I am a fairly simple green player, and unless it is ready to strike in the face, me or otherwise, I really don't play the card. I don't understand well, blue spells. I don't understand
right,
finance.
Right.
You're just here because you want to talk about that horse thing.
Oh, yes.
Finance is as green as it gets.
Yeah. Wow, that was so bad.
Oh,
my God, that was atrocious.
Man.
You should be so ashamed.
What?
You cannot be proud of anything you've just done.
No. No. What? Oh, man.
Wow.
We just bumped up the Patreon tier to get you on the cast another $100. That's what you just did. The wall just got 10 feet higher, DJ.
That was so bad.
Oh, you're in timeout. You can't talk about anything until we're down to like cards worth $3 and below.
That's fine.
That won't take very long.
I hope it was worth it, man. I hope it was worth it. Jeez. Come on.
Oh, wait. Finance is green because of money. No, I actually like that pun now. I've come around.
Wait, what did you think it was?
Oh, man, you don't want to know what I thought.
What did you think?
I invented a new kind of racism, I think.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone is dumber. This is where you insert the Billy Madison gif. Everyone is dumber for having listened to that. Anyways,
I hear enough.
Phil, tell us your story, man. What's your deal? How long have you been in the podcast scene talking about Commander, making awesome content?
Well, by your guys' standards, I'm still just a babe. I've been podcasting for about 3 years, 2 years with Commander and MTG podcast. And essentially started podcasting because at the time there was a real shortage of Commander-related podcasts, and we decided to help fill that void. And then when that, as most creative things do, kind of blew apart, I restarted with Nate Burgess and Sean Watson, and we did the Commander In podcast. And recently, of course, Nate has moved on to another podcast, his own, and we've added Shivam Butt to the mix. So Shivam is this effusive guy who runs around the convention hall. He knows everybody, and we do everything we can to keep up with him. Sean, of course, is a super sarcastic Brit. He and Jason like to talk about sports, of all things. It's disgusting and disconcerting. But when Jason has been on the show, that's generally what they talk about. And then I, as we're seeing, am sort of the green guy who tries to keep up with the conversation. But when words start exceeding three syllables, I really, really get lost.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's great. A lot of people love the cast. Commander podcasts have really taken off over the last few years. I guess as the format as a whole has. I mean, what's, you know, you've watched it all kind of grow, right? It's pretty cool because so many people now I meet play Commander and nothing else in Magic. And, you know, sort of the old school purist view is to look at it as sort of this not real thing or not relevant to finance or whatever. But these days, honestly, it's some of the more relevant financial stuff and just the way a lot of people interact with the game. So, you know, how cool is it to be a part of that community?
Oh, it's really cool. You know, I look at Commander. I have played Magic as a multiplayer game since 1994. And then I took a bunch of years off. But we were playing five people.
Which set did it? Do you remember the set?
Fallen Empires and Chronicles.
Oh, man. That'll do it.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. I thought for sure Magic was dead. The quality of the sets was decreasing. The quality of the individual cards was poop, unless it was, we can say shit here.
That's true.
My podcast is a family-friendly show, and we all swear, but we have to bleep it out because we don't want to actually offend any children who might be listening. We don't want to make it difficult to play in the hypothetical, purely hypothetical game store that wants to play us. We were ripping packs on our floors, and then we would build decks and we'd play them all. Like whoever was there, we would join up and just do like 5-player games. This was before Star Magic, anything like that. So when I heard about Commander, I was like, wait a second, this is incredible. It's built for multiplayer play. And of course, multiplayer could be two people, but I really mean three or more people, right?
Right.
And I've always played board games and tabletop games politically. Excuse me. And so this was just a natural extension, and I fell in. And now I'm part of this community that's just based on social interaction. And so it's really easy to relate to people. We have a deck testing group where people come join and play games electronically just to test their decks so that they can build them in paper or even digitally if they're playing online. So we play with these people. We Skype with them while we're playing. It's a blast. It's so much fun. And I'm really grateful to be part of it. You know, I look at Josh and Jimmy on the Command Zone, and those guys are amazing, just absolutely amazing. They've helped us so much, both as a podcast and as a community. And anything I can do to sort of give back to that community and maybe to make it a little bit richer and help people pass the boredom while maybe they're, you know, slinging hash or something like that, then I'll keep doing it.
All right, that's great. So what are you most excited about when a set comes out? Do you play any standard at all, or are you mono Commander these days?
I'm mono Commander. I don't want to collect an entire play set of cards, so I'm kind of out of the standard loop there. I know that this will be controversial, but I sort of resent Modern in part because...
Oh, man.
Yeah, and well, for all the reasons you guys like Modern, I, as a simple green player, do not like it because it prices cards generally out of range, and it's an instant turnaround time. Like Death Shadow, I happened to have gotten when it was like a $3 or $4 card or something. Which even then, I was listening to your episode about sudden infant death syndrome, and you guys talked a little bit about Death Shadow, and
I don't know
if that's what the episode was about.
That was the point of the episode,
Corbin. That was a long tangent, dog.
Look, man, I even thought about it, and I was like, you know what? We have Ryan and Marcel on. This episode is already off the rails. I'm going with it. Somebody on Twitter said that they are contributing to our Patreon now because of that tangent.
It's a
and
great
I, he
tangent.
Was not being sarcastic.
Yeah, but we don't know how many people left because of it.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But
not enough for you to lose your.
That's true.
Possible cast member status, anyways.
The suspense. You guys are really building that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. But you look at a card like Death Shadow that is this niche card, and it goes from, you know, $4 to $12 overnight.
Right.
What's happening to Chalice of the Void right now? Yeah. Not that we would play a lot of Chalice of the Void, right, in Commander. But you look at you look at all of that and Snaring Bridge, all of these cards that have potential use, and bam, they get they shoot straight up. And I kind of resent Modern for that. Sure, keep your Tarmogoyfs. I'm happy with those being $130 or whatever it is. But you know, don't touch the other cards.
It's interesting because Tarmogoyf is the one they've known about forever, right? And now Tarmogoyf is, you can actually Tarmogoyf for like cheaper than Chalice of the Void. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
they
nuts.
Finally, they have printed Tarmogoyf to the point where it is solidly under $100 now, so.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. Like Tarmogoyf, it's interesting. I've seen it played in Commander once, and it's it's not a great card in Commander.
Yeah, so I have not so much.
Yeah, not
just
so much.
Just a dumb creature.
It really is, and it doesn't even get that big. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So I mostly play Commander, and I followed when Jason appeared on the Command Zone in 2014. I started following his advice and just ordering an extra card or two. And I don't know if it's just me, but I don't pick cards that tend to spike. So I've got a whole bunch of 50-cent cards if anybody's interested. Now, not that I'm going to sell in bulk. I'm keeping them.
Yep.
I might use them in a deck someday.
Well, that's a great part about Commander, right? You can actually do that.
Yeah.
What is this Commander you guys are talking about? Is that like EDH?
similar.
Yeah.
This is the Commander in podcast versus the EDH Rec website.
Commander's a format in which there are many, many tutors used in order to gain some consistency from your deck's behavior.
Yeah, you know my typical response to that. I believe all your patrons do, too.
Yeah, we have an MP3 of that isolated.
Inside jokes. All right. So what do you guys want to talk about tonight that we have a EDH-centric guest on the podcast?
Oh, boy, we have a set review to do, don't we? Gosh, golly gee.
We have a portion of a set. There's not a lot we're talking about in the set.
It's like 10 cards.
Yeah, this set is right? It's kind of, it's got a lot going for it, but it's a little underpowered in Commander, it seems. I'm sorry, in Standard. So starting at the top, we have old Nicol Bolas himself. The card that was the face of the set and was previewed in the worst way possible by somebody misclicking on the French website. Pretty rough.
Yeah, that really is unfortunate.
I bet
isn't
it was Helene on her last day on the way out of the office. Just click.
I guess that is a possibility. Anyway, so Bolas is, as everyone probably knows, 7 mana, 7 loyalty, 4 abilities, plus 2. It starts with 7 loyalty, and they plus 2, they exile a card, so they hit a non-land card until the turn you can play it for free. Plus 1, each opponent exiles 2 cards. Minus 4, you deal 7 damage to target creature or player. Minus 12. Exile each non-land permanent your opponent's control. So,
do you need your reading glasses for that one?
Pretty sweet card overall. The most expensive card in the set at just under $20 on market price. What do you guys think about Bolas?
He's fine.
Do you want to pay $20 for him?
Nope.
No. Even I don't want to do
10.
That.
I think you wait like a month and a half and pay 10.
But nothing in the set's worth money. So what do we think? Is the value going to go to the 30-cent cards and make them a dollar? Is the value going to be all in the masterpieces? Is uncertainty surrounding Moto Redemption going to be what keeps this set cheap? We can't have the set worth $40.
The set, sure.
I don't know.
Are you like we've seen Born of the Gods? We've seen Dragon's Maze do it. We've seen sets that are just garbage. I think
Bolas is going to hold a lot of value, though.
I think it's got to, because like what's the impetus to bust a bunch of packs? And if a bunch of packs aren't being busted, then how is supply going to keep up with demand? So I think this has got to maintain some value. This could conceivably go up. I really tend to doubt it unless it makes a big splash in Standard. But, like, where's the value going to be?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And some of the gods, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. Most of it's probably just going to set a Bolas.
don't you think guys... you want to buy it. I think it hits 10 before, like, I think there's a buy-in at 10.
Probably. But, yeah. I honestly don't know, because Bolas might form the backbone of a Grixis control deck in Standard. That is certainly a possibility. And if that happens, though, it could easily be 15. So I think it's hard to sleep on. I mean, I think in general you're right. It's likely to go. It's going to go down, but it may not really go down as much as we all might think or hope or whatever.
Yeah, I look at this, and as a commander nerd, I'm like, oh, okay. In a mill deck, specifically a Grixis mill deck, it might work out, right? But it's not a $20 card. And Star City has this for $30 presale. It's just not worth that.
Yeah.
Well, Star City's trying not to get hose popping boxes. They're trying not to pay $74 for a box or whatever they pay, and open $23 worth of cards.
Which is a real possibility if you don't open a Nicol Bolas, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other Nicol Bolas you can't even get in booster packs.
Smiling Nick, right?
Yeah, that's right. The next Nicol Bolas that's currently at 11 is in the Planeswalker decks.
Yeah.
Or the Planeswalker packs.
You notice all the art in the Planeswalker decks that has them basically doing like a smile, like smiling it's in like, some way. Even Tezzeret.
Like their senior photos, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know they're for Dirtles. It's like, does he look unfriendly? Oh, we can't have him look menacing. It's going to scare off new players. The Planeswalker packs have to be welcoming.
Yeah, he's the deceiver, but he's a happy deceiver.
Like in the Planeswalker deck, you see like Kefnetzling in a pile of ice cream with a smile on his face. He just ate too much ice cream at the pizza party for Nicol Bolas.
Wow. Yep, you got it, man. All right, so
it's Hawaiian Punch from playing too much Pin the Tail on the Donkey.
So it sounds like we think Bolas is, not going to be 20, but probably isn't tipping below 10, right? So somewhere in between those two is honestly a fine buy-in.
Yeah.
I mean, it is still a nutso Planeswalker, and while it's not in Atraxa colors, like, it turns out people in other decks like Planeswalkers. And if you're playing Grixis, this does Grixis-y stuff in EDH. And also, people just like to collect Planeswalkers, and if they can get them for less than $40, I'm sure they're all about that.
Yeah. All right.
This has four abilities. It's a good card.
Yeah. And next up is Nicol Bolas the Deceiver. So this is the intro, the Planeswalker deck one. It's 8 mana, has some generic abilities, etc. So basically it's $10 right now.
How do you feel about him?
Well, it's just an intro deck Planeswalker, right? So what is the trend you guys have seen with the intro deck walkers, from the past several sets now that they've been doing this?
They've held pretty steadily at like $4 to $6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been surprised with how I've actually been able to sell like the Gideon, the Liliana, and the Nissa from the Kaladesh one. Like I buy them at the shop expecting that they're just going to sit there and not do anything. And then they actually sell reasonably well on Twitter or TCG player. So there's some demand for them just because I guess you can't get them in booster packs.
And also casuals.
Yeah. They're still Planeswalkers, right? And they can be pretty good for casual play or even commander play, even if they aren't good in standard, which they, thus far haven't been. And this one isn't breaking that mold.
I mean, it's 8 mana. Its abilities would have to be real good for... It'd have to be Ugin.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, this is not worth 8 mana.
No, not.
Destroy target creature, draw cards, okay.
Yeah. But you're not going to take your 8 mana Planeswalker down to 2 to do that the turn you play it, probably. I mean, you might.
You can pay 8 mana for a sorcery that destroys target creature, draws you a card, and gives you 2 life.
That's some Ember Shot like stuff right there.
Yeah.
Is that the name of a 7 mana burn spell that draws you a card or whatever?
I don't know.
I don't play burn spells.
Should we have brought other people on if you only want to talk about green cards? Jesus, Phil. You're going to have to develop an opinion about some non-green cards.
I was going
to
say, let's talk about Beasting. Let's go back to that Nissa Planeswalker.
Or... there are two. There's Uniyaro Bee Sting from Mirage, and then there's Bee Sting from Portal Second Age.
Hey, yeah. There's Hornet Sting, too.
Oh, yeah,
Hornet
there
Sting is.
Hornet
Sting is not the same. Uniyaro Bee Sting costs 4 mana. Hornet Sting only costs 1.
No, I'm just saying that, like, it's a green yeah. burn spell.
Very derivative of Uniyaro Bee Sting, if you ask me. Very uninspired.
I've picked Hornet Stings out of bulk recently because it's a pauper card now.
Sure, why not, man? Why not?
I can't tell if you're just trolling Corbin.
I'm not kidding. I played it. I borrowed a friend's pauper deck, and he had 3 Hornet Stings in the sideboard, and as boggles, and it's like designed to like tech against other decks that like put auras and stuff, and like it did work.
Sure, I believe you. All right, moving on.
You guys,
hey,
you
it
guys
kills
kill
Dark
me.
Confidant. How bad could it be?
All right, next up is a card that people actually are kind of excited about. We'll see if you guys share that opinion. The Scarab God.
Oh yeah,
I think it's pronounced the Scarab God. Think.
For people who don't know, before the cast, Jason was saying some dumb stuff. What did you think it was, Mishra? He thought you pronounced Mishra, Mishra.
It is actually Mishra.
What are you talking about?
It's pronounced
it's truly not, man.
It's not Mishra. It's not Mishra.
It's
Mishra.
Certainly not Mishra. You're dumb.
Yeah, it's not Mishra.
Anyways, the Scarab God's a 5 mana 5 5. At the beginning of your upkeep,
our patrons will
they
back
won't.
Me up.
They
on
really
this.
Will not. At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent loses X life and you scry X, where X is the number of zombies you control. And then for 2 blue black, exile creature from a graveyard, create a token that's a copy of it, except it's a 4/4 zombie. And when the Scarab God dies, return it to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. This is certainly extremely powerful. I'm sure you guys are excited about it for Commander. But how do you feel about it in Standard? Is there any chance this does anything for zombies in Standard? Because that, when we're talking about the price and it being $9 out of the gate, that's what matters, right?
Aren't the zombies decks black-white?
They're mostly mono-black, to be honest.
So...
I mean,
do you want to put this in there?
My limited knowledge of Standard questions whether or not a 5 converted mana
exactly.
cost card has any
yeah,
place.
Yeah, right now they play Liliana's Mastery, and it's weird because the mono black deck gets to play Westfield Abbey and stuff, which is very powerful for it. Whereas the sure. black white versions don't; they get Wayward Servant or whatever. And both of the versions have Liliana's Mastery at 5 mana, which is good because it allows the deck to go wide and pumps all of its zombies. Whereas this is sort of fundamentally a different thing. It makes the deck a lot more grindy, but you have to stretch the mana to do it, and you have to have more 5 drops or cut Mastery. So I don't think it's good enough right now. I think it's possible after rotation, some form of the zombie deck could survive and play some split of the two, but they're losing Crypt Breaker at that point, and that's going to be pretty rough, right? So we'll see. I don't think my point is I think it's a really awesome card, and I think some people will play it in Standard, but I don't think it's good enough to hold $9. That said, how excited are you guys for this for Commander?
No, it's not. I'm not $9 excited about right. this for Commander.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah,
everybody I know who plays zombies already plays Geesa and Garolf or Grimgrin, and neither are excited to put this in their deck.
Now,
this isn't a bad build around, but like it just
to be honest, I wouldn't be. It'll all surprise. It's going to go in all those decks for sure, and it's.
There's like 2 or 3 local zombie players who just play zombies in EDH, and none of them want this card in their decks. Well, I'm not a judge of that. I'm just telling you what they said.
I think in part that's because people are looking at this as exile target creature card from your graveyard, right? And zombie players don't want to do that. They have lots of zombies going into their graveyard, right? And they want to bring them back. They want to recur them. But if you look at this as exile a target creature card from somebody else's graveyard and get that juicy enter the battlefield effect, suddenly this is a lot
at instant speed, and it's recursive.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that this Sean, to me strikes me as a card that is going to do nothing for a long time. And then get really expensive, right? I'm really excited for this to hit $3 or $4.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, no, I can see that. I agree.
Yeah.
I like that.
And Sean Watson has built a deck around using other people's Enter the Battlefield effects, where that first ability, the triggered ability, is incidental to getting your opponent's Terracidon, now a 4/4, but still destroys 3 things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. That's yeah. There's a lot of different ways you can make it work. So to me, $9 is a no go. But this is what I'm actually am excited about when it gets cheaper.
Yeah, I'm worried. Well, not this one, but some of the other gods I think are a lot like the Gitrog monster, right? Where everybody was super hyped about it, and then now it's a buck.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, but it's also there are how many Gitrog monster decks on EDH Rec? It's just. It's a, you know, it's an imprint card. It's too recent. And besides, EDH as a one-off format's really not going to drive up the price on stuff you can get in a booster pack.
Right.
But the Gitrog Monster is, you know, it's pretty popular. There's
965 decks.
Yeah.
So it's, in the grand scheme of things, it's not... It's not hugely popular, and that's not going to... 965 decks isn't enough to get the price over, like, it's like, what, $2 on Card Kingdom, so...
Yeah.
Yep, all right.
So that's sort of when everyone's like, this is great in EDH, but, like, what EDH is doing is like, Solemnity, as good as it is, probably isn't going to be $3-4 for long.
No.
What Solemnity is going to do is it's going to make your Glacial Chasm from 1996 that's old enough to drink... expensive. That's what it's going to do. It's going to make your, you know, all your older stuff go up, but it itself not as much. So when we talk about EDH finance, like whether or not the card is good in EDH is almost irrelevant to that card's price. What we look for is the older cards that it's going to influence, and you know, so maybe the Scarab God makes older zombie stuff go up, maybe not, but like EDH demand is not going to keep this at $9. This is going to sink like a rock.
All right, moving on to the next one. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
When you guys are talking about these cards, like you look at Bolas at $20 and Scarab God now at $10 and the other Bolas at $10, but that's also that has to plummet too because it's so readily available, right?
Yes.
When you look at these, do you advise people to sell, or what do you like?
Well, it always comes down to what your goals are for Magic, right? And if your goal is to play standard, then sometimes you bite the bullet, and that's why, you know, we talk about Bolas at 20, right? And we say, well, we think it'll settle between, you know, probably like 10 to 15. So like, if you can get it lower than 20, but you don't necessarily have to wait because it's always a balancing act for people, right? You know, between will this be $5 and it's crazy to buy 20, or, you know, will this go down $7, but I get to play with it for a month and a half first. You know, those things all make a difference. And I think that a lot of what we do, you know, sort of comes down to that, and helping people sort of bridge that, that divide there. So I think that's really what it's about. Now, later on in the set, we'll get to some of the less expensive stuff. Maybe then there's an opportunity to buy something, you know. But for now, at this point, it's really just more about helping people get, you know, the right price on something.
Yeah. I look at this at $10 and I'm like, just sell it as soon as you open it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean... because you can buy two more of them in just a few weeks for the same amount.
Yes. And, like, some Commander players will just prefer to proxy it. Like, most Commander players at my shop are perfectly fine with letting you, like, write a scrap of paper for your Commander that doesn't exist yet, and then when you get it in a month, you just slide it in. It's fine.
I'm okay with that as long as the proxy is really entertaining. Like, Sean Watson created a token or a proxy of Bantu that he calls Dirty Bantu. And we can't share it on our show, but let's just say Dirty Bantu is very prominent in certain features. Although, of course, Bantu is female, so this makes it even weirder. Sorry to derail you.
You guys are weird shit over there. My God.
You have no idea. We freaked out a bunch of people at Vegas. A couple of people managed to kind of catch on and understand that we were just being outrageous and kind of joking around because this is our sense of humor. But yeah, we did manage to freak a couple of people out legitimately. Like, whoa, we didn't know you guys were that weird. Or more accurately, we didn't know you guys were weird that way. I'm like, what way?
It's pretty good. No, this is great. All right, let's hit the next one. Nissa Genesis Mage, intro deck Nissa, I believe, right? $8, same thing, probably $5. It's honestly the first time I looked at this card. Plus 5 loyalty, plus 2, untap 2 creatures and 2 lands. Minus 3, target creature gets plus 5 to end of turn. Minus 10, look at the top 10 cards of your library, put any number of creatures or lands onto the battlefield. Sure, it's a big thing. Here's your green card, though. Are you excited for it? this is your big dirtly green card, right?
It's got a lot of words really interesting. Ultimate. I don't think he can.
That's a good point.
I saw something about 10 guards.
Yes.
This is like 7, 8 bucks. The Nicol Bolas is like 10 bucks, 10, 11 bucks. Miniature Market has both Planeswalker decks combined for 23.
Sure.
So basically everything else in those decks is
free. You get
free,
2 booster packs in each one, too.
They look... free boosters. So
yeah, pretty
knows?
Straightforward.
Maybe those are super worth it. I'm looking at deck contents right now. Oh, you got the Visage of Bolas.
No, that's not too bad.
I don't think we want to be buying these. But hey, when someone buys them and then sells them to me for like super cheap, I'll be glad to have everything in them, I guess.
Genesis Mage is a card that you should play Christmas Bells behind while we discuss, because, you know, you look at that minus 10 and you're like, yeah, I would play that. I just need a doubling season out.
Sure, I guess it goes in that deck.
And then it's 7 mana to, yeah, sure, why not?
Hope you're doubling your mana to get to 7 before you get stomped.
Yeah, no kidding.
2 target creatures and 2 target lands, that kind of... Man, I don't know. This looks like a lot of... It's very green.
It's a lot like Garrick... I can't pronounce his name. Garrick Wildspeaker.
That's the one. Yeah, it's... Yeah. So, this is $8. This one feels like more commander applications in the long term than some of the others. So that's a thing, I think. But, yeah, overall... Yeah.
That plus 2 is going to get used a lot. But you're paying 7 mana for that, right? And then you end up with a sorcery that's untapped 2 target creatures and up to 2 target lands and giving you 7 life on your first turn. Yeah. Maybe you get a second use out of it. I don't know. Is it worth more than a Garrick Wildspeaker?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Okay, so $3 to $4 Planeswalker incoming.
Yep.
All right. Next up is... some hard to pronounce thing, Razaketh.
Hey, let Jason have this one.
Oh,
this was
my bad.
Card.
Get on it, Jason.
Yeah.
This
is the only card in this whole set that wasn't spoiled. Because I got to preview it. And as you know, when someone else previews a card, it's a spoiler. But when you spoil a card, it's a preview. So I got to preview this card.
Sure, we'll say that's how it works.
This is good, and it's mythic, and it's also good. And something has to be worth money in this set.
So it's an 8/8 for 8. Flying Trample. Pay 2 life, sack another creature. Search your library for a card and put it in your hand. I mean, it's... Sure, it's a great commander card, I suppose.
I mean, you just... I think you get this and then you win the game. And, like, Shadowborn Apostle decks want this. Probably Kalia decks. I don't know, man. 7-8 bucks... everything in the set. I don't know, man.
I don't want
to call this at 7, and then it's going to be a 8 mana is a lot too. So not every unless you're cheating this at a play, you're probably not even super excited about it as an EDH player. So like, I don't know, man.
Well, it's not a commander, right?
I mean, maybe. Probably not.
Maybe, but at 8 mana, I don't think you're casting this more than once. And I see this fitting into kind of a Marin or Mazurek deck, right? Some Golgari deck that does a lot of sacrificing anyway.
Jam it in like Athreus for Shadowborn Apostles.
Yeah. Yeah, something that wants to sacrifice a lot of creatures, wide on tokens. Hapatra, actually, is pretty good at this. And so you cast this, you put this in Hapatra, you cast it. If it gets that late, because Hapatra is like Grease Lightning, she's super fast. How about that for a reference? and then you just drop this and tutor up all the cards you want, and next turn win the game.
Yeah, or tutor up and win the game that turn if you don't feel like waiting.
Yeah, around. I imagine that's what's going to happen the most.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, you got a lot of mana in black. That's your Cabal Coffers colors.
Mm-hmm.
And how?
So.
Golly gee willikers.
Yeah, so who knows, man? I don't. Everyone asked me what I think about this card because I previewed it, and I've thought about this card longer than anybody else that's not a Wizards employee or like a disgruntled printer. Because I saw this card a week and a half before anybody else, and I was like, and I still don't know what to think, but I think I like it a lot, but I think a lot of players like it a lot, but I also think that you're not going to play fair with this card, so it. This definitely gives people another excuse for Shadowborn Apostle to get bought, and those get bought 20 at a time. So if some guy decides he wants to foil Shadowborn Apostles, he's going to buy all 20 loose copies of Shadowborn Apostle on the internet, and that's going to trigger a price avalanche. So like one of these days, this could be the card that topples that domino. So that's something to think about, too. Whether or not this card itself is financially relevant, the other stuff surrounding it. Is in a much more precarious financial situation.
That's a good point.
And I don't think there are too many foil Shadowborn Apostles out there. I know it's kind of a dirtle deck, and like dirtles don't necessarily foil it out, but man, it just takes one person being like, I need 30 Shadowborn Apostles in foil. Oh, they're $2 each?
It is certainly a dirty dirtle deck, that's for sure.
But I mean, I've seen it do powerful stuff, so.
Whatever, I love that. Man. This is a dirty dirtle deck. You know, when say it, it's really dirty.
Yeah, some dumb dudes play dirty dirtle decks, and like, all right. We can't stop them. So all we can do is sell them the foil Shadowborn Apostles, or howl the non-foil Shadowborn Apostles, because anything that breaks the rules of Magic is fun. So I think this is going to be financially relevant vis-a-vis the other decks it props up, but I don't think this itself is going to maintain $8. That seems... Don't worry, listeners. This is going to go real fast once we get below $1, which is going to happen.
All right. Next up is a one that people are also excited about, and this one's pretty nice. The Locust God. 6 mana, 4/4 flyer. Whenever you draw a card, create a 1/1 blue-red insect with flying and haste, and then 2 blue-red draw a card, discard a card. When it dies, return it to its owner's hand. A lot of people are pretty excited about this one. I don't know if it's a better control finisher than anything we already have, like just paying 1 more mana. I mean, there is a blue-red deck that draws a bunch of cards that will probably play 1 or 2 of these, but like Torrential Gearhulk exists, Nicol Bolas exists. It is maybe difficult to see it cracking, you know, the barrier. Yeah.
Standard? It's 6 mana. I like that it's called Niv Cricket, though. I think that's a funny name for it.
I hadn't heard that.
This card with Skull Clamp and EDH is just mwah.
Yeah.
You know, that's true.
I've already died to that with Ashen's Altar.
Would you play it as a commander?
I actually brewed a deck with old school Nicol Bolas and all three of the gods plus every Nicol Bolas Planeswalker on Gathering Magic 2 weeks ago, and I thought that was hilarious. I don't know how
I'm excited to do that in Modern. I'm going to make Bullish Tribal. If we can afford it, it's a good Mighty Modern episode.
That's not quite Gideon.
No, not quite, but still good. Still good. It's all about for Mighty Modern having that sweet theme deck. Like this week I did 4th of July theme. It was all Jeskai colors, flying creatures. It was great. It was Freedom Flyers. I go all out on it, man. That's how you gotta do it. I had the shirt, like the American T-shirt. I had a red, white, and dew Mount Dew special themed. I had a little popper firework thing to shoot off. It's pretty good, pretty good. So
was it a popper pit? Was it a popper popper?
Popper popper. Anyway, so yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to.
I'm embarrassed. Just embarrassed to know you, man. It's just a bummer.
So, Locust God, it's $6. I mean, yeah, $6 honestly isn't that expensive, but I don't think it's going to do much in Standard, though, so it still probably looks like $4. It doesn't have that far to go.
I mean, how cheap can this really get as a playable card in a format that... I don't know. I think everyone's excited about this in EDH, but like how much of that translates into actual adoption.
Yeah.
I don't see what prices this drives on its own. The foil's $20. That's like, what, a 3x multiplier? That's not even that strong. I don't know, man.
So we already have a red and blue commander that relies on drawing cards, right?
I mean, there's like three of them. There's Arjun, the Shifting Sphinx. There's both Niv-Mizzets. There's
Mizzix. Right. There's that dude that lets you play with a top card revealed.
Yeah, but I think this is getting an extra bonus off of drawing a card. I don't think this is a commander that you build around, for example.
It's probably
but I've already died to this from a guy who built this deck.
Is it built around Locust God, or is it built around Argent?
No, it's built around Locust God, and like he kills people with Shared Animosity very quickly.
Sure.
Well, I mean, you could. It's almost like some of the Nekusar stuff makes this dumb. Like whenever you win, whenever you windfall, whenever you wheel, like, whenever you puzzle box. Yeah.
That's what he does, and like a lot of the deck is like part of it's like Fabricate for Ashnod's Altar, Skull Clamp, like kill you. It's a strong deck. It's built around Locust God.
I can see that being a lot of fun. So I think around $6.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably like, I'd say like $4 to $5, but either way, its current price certainly doesn't seem that far fetched.
Yeah, because I mean, like we keep saying, the value just kind of feels like it has to be somewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, there are invocations to prop up some of it, of course, but honestly, that only goes so far.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that I could see being played with this is already like spiked from Nekusar and Leovold. So I don't know that this is going to drive prices individually as much as next the next sweet. Card that we're going
to. All right, let's move on to it then. The Scorpion God, 5 mana, 6/5. Whenever a creature with a -1 counter on it dies, draw a card. One black red, put a -1 counter on another target creature. When a Scorpion God dies, return it to its owner's hand. This card is sweet, right? This is definitely going to move some prices, and already has been.
It moved my pick of the week.
It already has. Kalrath Knight. Yep. Way to accidentally. Because Apatch removed a lot of that stuff, like your Crumbling Ashes and your Blowfly Infestations, but Kalrath Knight couldn't go in the Apatch deck because, you know, it's got that red in it. And all of a sudden, here comes a deck that can bump some of those red cards. You got your Stigma Lasher, you got your Kalrath Knight, so this is going to move the stuff again, the mono black stuff that was already moved by Hypatra, plus it's going to move some of the red stuff finally. So
yeah, this moved
this was a great printing.
This moved Blowfly Infestation again, because Hypatra moved it to like 253 and this brought it to like 455.
Wow.
Crumbling Ashes was even more, because that just killed stuff. So it's a cool mechanic. Man, just all kind of reasons that I wish I had gotten a bunch of contingent engines back in the day.
The crazy thing is, this card is already cheap, right? It's already under $5. On TCG Player, you can get as many as you want for under $5 right now, which doesn't seem that bad.
I just don't. What's it going to do in standard, though? So, like, it's just like everybody doesn't care if it's not a set for standard.
Yeah, so it goes to like 3 or 4, you know? I don't know. Like, big deal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you can get man, somebody's selling it for $484, shipping included. So you buy it for $480, this goes to $3. How bad did you get blown out, really?
Yeah, if you need it, just buy it now. It's not like.
If you need it, just buy it.
Yeah. I actually don't see this as being I don't see this as being as popular as Hypatra, right? Hypatra gets stuff instantly when you drop the -1/-1 counter on a creature, whereas this actually, you need to kill something with it. Now, that's not impossible, but your opponent has to be playing a lot of little things to get in order for you to get any benefit right from dropping the -1/-1 counter on something. I don't know. I think you're right that there are some older cards that are going to benefit from this, but this card, I just don't see it even holding that much value.
I kind of figured it's like, I mean, but it's still a mythic and it's still popular, right? It's still going to have something going for it.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be like $3. I can't go that much farther below that, can it?
No, especially not being a god.
Yeah, and that's what's, to me, that's what's crazy here. It's just already so cheap. So, like, this is one, if you get it to pre-release and don't actually feel bad about holding on to or even picking up at that $4 to $5 mark, because it's just fine.
This is the best financial advice. Ah, how much money could you really lose listening to us, huh? How much?
I mean, now we can talk about the card that actually has people. So honestly, this is probably the most exciting card in the set, right? But yeah, talking about Solemnity for the card that does everything.
Oh, I thought we were on God Pharaoh's Gift.
Oh, you want to talk about your spoil card, huh?
Oh, I think we'll get there. It's under a dollar.
Yeah, Solemnity. Now, this is the card that, if you listen to us, we talked about this weeks ago. I wrote an article when this was first spoiled, and all that stuff popped, man. Decree of Silence popped, Glacial Chasm. Even Mystic Remora and other stuff with cumulative upkeep, because they rule the cumulative upkeep is in the form of age counters, and you can't put age counters on there, so... Bad for stuff like Hibernation's End and Braid of Fire, but good for stuff like Mystic Remora and stuff like Delaying Shield. This is like a ton of stuff that pairs nicely with this. You could plea for guidance and get both the Solemnity and the stuff it combos with. I love this card. It's made me so much money already, and it hasn't even come out yet. Like, 3 weeks before the card was available in boosters, it was making me money. That's why I love EDH Finance so much. Yeah.
Wow. Mystic Remora really did pop, didn't it?
Yeah, one of our patrons in our Discord was like, "Do you guys like Mystic Remora?" And we're all like, "Yeah, if it would go through something, it would have done it already."
Hey, I did not say that.
Yeah, you didn't say anything, coward.
I said it on the cast. No, that was somebody's pick of the week, or that was an email that sent in, and you guys shit on it. And I said, no, I think it has legs at like $1, $1.50, and everyone else just...
I think I said if it was going to do anything, it would have done something, and it was before Solemnity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because we had...
So it made us look like doofuses when this came along afterward. That's what's funny. I also had said that I had a bunch of Mystic Remoras that I bought for like 10 cents a piece and I was sitting on and was feeling discouraged that they weren't doing anything. So, I'm accidentally good at this.
Sometimes. Emphasis on accidentally.
That was mean, Cor. That was really mean spirited.
So, but I mean, what do you guys think about the price? It's just under $5 right now. What do you guys think about it along those lines?
I mean, I don't really care. It's already made me so much money. I don't care what it does.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what its price does. It's going to go to like 2 or 3.
Yeah, I understand that, but let's have an opinion on it.
Two or three. 2 or 3 in a month.
2 or 3 in a month. Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Next card.
Yeah, I look at it.
It's going to go to $11. Like, what's it got to do in standard? Who's putting counters on things? It's like you can't put -1/-1 counters on creatures, and players can't get poison counters. Like, what's this? What's this doing? Is it shutting down that stupid
it's energy
red
counters.
Spell? Yeah. That red spell that gets counters on it and then goes up when you... What was that even called? I don't
imminent
know the
doom.
Name of the cards. Yeah, Imminent Doom. We shutting down Imminent Doom with this? So, I don't know, man. Is it...
So you guys see it going down.
It doesn't even say that counters can't be put on planeswalkers, which would make this pretty good.
Yeah, it's a carve out for planeswalkers.
This is the real question is if this breaks through in modern or legacy or something. It could definitely form a piece in some legacy decks that play Dark Depths or whatever already. That's the real power of it, I think.
Yeah, and even then though it's a sideboard card, but still if it in modern or legacy, if it sees sideboard play, it actually spikes the card, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lot of the times, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So you buy into this when it's like $2, $3?
Yeah, you wait for this thing to get cheap because this thing's going to be such good money long term.
It's just, it's like one of those suppression field type cards, you know, Ghostly Prison. It's just one of those Stony Silence hosiery yeah. type cards that just always just eventually get there. So yeah, we'll just wait for this to get hella cheap and then buy hella copies, I guess.
Hmm. All right. Next up is what is possibly the worst Planeswalker since Tibble, I think. Samut.
Samut. I can't possibly right. be Samut.
Whatever it's, it is, man, this card is atrocious,
why you,
right?
Why don't you go to your precious pronunciation guide?
Okay.
Maro put out on his Tumblr that it's Samut.
Samut, okay, sure.
Samut. Why not? Put out on his Tumblr this card an apology point. For printing it? Or
yeah, I was going to say, it's Samut point, so.
If you open this in a booster very, pack, very send bad. It back to us, and we'll send you the other Samut. The good one that gives your creatures abilities.
Yeah. Hey, this gives a single creature double strike.
Which is great if you just want a tooth and nail, which is what I want this for. I mean, this is a tooth and nail. We're going to look real stupid. You know what? You know what? Screw you guys. For $4, I say buy $100 worth of this. And then when someone in Standard goes, hey, I gave a creature double strike until I tooth and nailed and won the game on turn 7. You guys are going to look like idiots for shitting on this card. And I'll look like a genius.
Sure, sure.
So you know what? Yeah. Buy it at 4. Don't do that.
Yeah, I keep that one in mind, man. Said if...
I'm getting mixed signals.
I just...
Card's bad. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but is it, though... Is it really bad, or is it just bad?
Hey.
It's actually really, really
that
bad.
That minus two is amazing.
Yeah, well, that minus
two... If you're going to pay a mana for it.
Yeah. On a creature, that minus two is nuts if you pay 4 mana to do that. Also, what in Standard, like, is even... Are you tooth and nailing for? You can't get Mike Triskelion and Mephidros Vampire or anything, so, like, what are you even doing? You just go get some... I don't
some
know.
Eldrazi.
Some, yeah. Nope, don't like it. why did they make this card?
You can get Nico Bolas and then another. No, it's
a real
no,
question.
Corbin, it's good in your doubling season deck because you play it with doubling season alt to yeah. get another Samut and something, alt Samut, get another Samut and something, and then you're winning with style points there.
Yeah, it's like, what have I done exactly? That's, yeah, not quite sure what I've done
there.
You
kill them, but it's like, you just send them a message, too.
Okay. Sending a message is important. I always approve of that.
You don't see this becoming playable in Standard, except by accident?
Boy, there's somebody out there listening to this podcast who really likes this set, and they've just turned this cast off. They're just like, you guys are...
Phil, I'm not ruling out the possibility of a 9-year-old walking into my shop with an unsleeved Samut in their 78-card deck. I'm not ruling that out.
It could happen.
I'm also not ruling out the possibility of me lying to them and saying it's not Standard legal in order to improve their deck.
You're really just helping them out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, here's a Domri. You can play this instead.
I don't know why they made this card. I wish they had not made
something.
It
something had to get nerfed. Had to have gotten nerfed on this in development, right? Like,
yes, agreed.
Like plus one was like double strike, trample, and vigilance, or something like that, or like. Or maybe it gave all the abilities that like regular Samut gave, or something. Or like minus two was like Arc Lightning, and that was too good.
How
know.
Do you pass?
Yeah.
If this is what your abilities are, how do you even pass the test?
Like ignite or whatever? How do you ignite your spark?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it wait? So she didn't ascend a planeswalker by being tested by the gods. This is a separate thing.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's stupid.
I think she would.
I guess Neheb just passed the tests, right, and just like became a worse creature. A worse Minotaur, but a better creature. I don't know anything about the lore, guys. I can
answer this, but I don't even care if you call me a
nerd. Do it,
nerd.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay. So well,
the river's
pass,
made of blood. She slips
if you
on the
all
bank.
All the trials, then you get to die at Hazoret Spear, and then you get to go to the afterlife, and then that's when Nico Bolas turns you into an Eternal, which is like the blue zombie things that are all 4/4s. So like Neheb is the character that you play as in the Duels of the Planeswalkers campaign. And so, like, you get to the end of the afterlife, then you die and become an Eternal, but you don't become a Planeswalker.
Oh.
And then Samut is, like, Samut was the tested because she, like, went through the trials and tribulations of, like, trying to prove to everybody else that the gods and the god Pharaoh were a lie and everything. But her spark hasn't been revealed in the story yet. But it's, like, it's implied that she sparks while killing the one of the gods, like, one of the insect gods.
Oh. How did she do that exactly? Did she deal 2 damage to 2 of the locusts? Divide it any way she chose? Take that, locust god.
You killed 2 of my locusts. No!
Not just that. Right, I gave a creature double strike. Take that. Oh, boy.
Let's move on to an exciting one, right? This is a legitimately really cool creature. Ramunap? Sure. I bet it's Ramunap.
You tell us, Mr. Pronunciation.
Whatever. Ramunap Excavator. It's a 2/3 for 3 in green that you can play land cards from your graveyard. Crucible on a creature.
Yeah.
Magus this card's of the great, Crucible. Right? And it's worth less than the shittiest planeswalker ever printed. Gotta love it. I mean, it is non-mythic, but still. Come on, man. I wrote an article about all the cards that this is likely to... Because basically, Crucible is priced out for a lot of people, and there's a pretty high degree of correlation between decks that are green and are running Crucible per EDH rec. It's basically like Duretti is like the one outlier, and like maybe a Loro. Like pretty much every other deck that's running Crucible has access to green. It's good in the Gitrog monster, it's good in Omnath Locus of Mana, all kind of crap like that. So this basically means that people who just couldn't afford a Crucible have a Crucible now. And people who could afford a Crucible have 2 Crucibles. And they can cast Green Sun Zenith or use Semut's Ultimate to get this. So this is good news for a lot of people. It's just basically means that, hey, I couldn't afford Crucible, therefore I wasn't playing Life from the Loam, therefore I wasn't playing, you know. This just turns a lot of decks on.
Yeah, this card is great. I actually, the foil's super expensive already, but if this thing hits like $2 early, I'm just all in on it, right?
Isn't this also like a release promo or a buy a box promo or something?
Ah, it might be. I'm not sure about that.
So I'm not sure if this foil is actually expensive, because I'm pretty sure it's like, it was one of the spoiled promos previewed promos by a store or something like that.
Yeah, we knew about this card for a minute, and I think that was the reason.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Wildfire Eternal is the buy a box promo.
Okay, so this must be the release promo then.
I mean, do you see this dropping?
A little bit.
From $4 as a rare? It probably could, yeah.
Maybe $1 or so. I don't think it goes lower than that.
The prices are real standard-centric and modern-centric. So if you don't expect this to impact modern or standard immediately, the price is going to tank. And then as other people gradually discover it...
You say that, but like Anointed Procession is the most expensive rare in Amonkhet. So.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up tonight.
Sam Black put it in a deck.
I agree, that's a big part of it. It is a standard deck. It's not a good standard deck, right, or widespread one, but it is a standard deck. So all the reasons it already had to be worth money, just that hint of standard play is the reason it's the most expensive.
Yeah.
I still think this Excavator, like, and it's got a weird name too, right? So that makes it, you know, fairly unlikely to be reprinted easily and et cetera, and the core set, for instance. So, yeah,
it references a Naga also, so.
Right, yeah. So I think that, I mean, I really like this. Basically, maybe even at the pre-release, I'm happy getting, this is one of those cards I think is way more expensive down the road, so I don't even mind picking them up at $3 to $4 at the pre-release, but it is going to probably hit $2 in a couple weeks, and then it's obvious, like, it's just insane.
But I think at the pre-release, you trade a $4 card that's going to be $2 next week for this $4 card that's going to be $2 next week. That's why I love trading at the pre-release, because, like, yeah, this could tank, but the stuff I'm trading away definitely tanks.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this card is great.
So this has a better chance of regaining some of its value down the road, and I love trading out of everything into stuff like this.
Yep.
But my trade binder doesn't exist, because it would just be a pile of Panharmonicons that I picked up with everything I opened at the pre-release and traded away.
All right.
So, yeah.
Up next is a weird one. Uncage the Menagerie. It's almost $4, just under $4. X, and then
like
green,
this
green.
Card.
Search your library for up to X creature cards with different names that each have converted mana costs X. Reveal them, put them in your hand. This is definitely a commander card only, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good, though.
You have to build around it, but it's a lot like building around Birthing Pod or...
The
card
the
that was just on
Yisson the Wanderer?
Yeah, the Yisson the Wanderer Bard,
yeah.
Birthing Pod, the other cards that look for a combination of power and toughness. Even though I know this isn't power and toughness, but it's a lot like that, where you're building a deck around, say, four, so that when you get the Uncage the Menagerie, you can just dump all of those fours.
Yeah, and I think two is probably pretty likely.
Yeah, one of the uses I've seen for
four
this,
mana for two.
I've seen a theoretical use for this in Modern where it's like X is two, get devoted Druid Vizier.
That's a thing, too.
You put them in your hand.
Yeah,
put them
like
in your hand, but still, yeah.
I mean, if you untap with, like, a Hall of the Bandit Lord or something, and then you just go off that turn.
Yeah.
I don't hate this in EDH, getting Ramunap Excavator, Eternal Witness, and Restoration Sage, or Reclamation Sage,
yeah,
or something
there's
like that.
There's a lot of stuff you can do with it.
Yeah.
It seems... Yeah, but I think the Modern impact is has real potential. I mean, what if you're just getting like 3/3 drop elves or 2/2 drop elves or any sort of combo stuff? So this could be a card that goes up just because $3 right now is just so cheap. Well, it's closer to $4, but man,
and it's mythic, right?
But it
it's
no,
just a rare.
Is it?
It's just
yeah,
a rare.
It is mythic. Oh, no, it's okay. Mythic. It's mythic.
Uncage the Menagerie?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is. God, that symbol looks... I'm old. I can't see well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that explains the price tag on it. I agree. I think this card could be pretty sweet in Modern. Like, four mana in the Mana Dork decks is actually, like, real easy, and it gives you your combo. So I can see this not getting cheap. Like, this won't be a dollar. You know, this will be, like... 2 to 4 for probably a long time.
It is a little bit more awkward than it. Like, the more you think about this card, the more you're sort of like, oh, yeah, I could get blown out. If you, like, don't have enough 5-drops, if you don't have 5 5-drops left in your deck, you can't play it for 5. Stuff like that.
Right.
That's
it's
not,
not
that's
or
not
less.
True.
It's. Oh, it's up to. Never mind. Okay, then.
Yeah, plus, even if it wasn't, you could always fail to find. Because it's searching for...
Oh, you just play it for 5.
For a restriction.
Yeah, that's true.
But yes, I think that I kind of like this. It is, again, one I want to pick up at the pre-release while getting rid of the standard stuff that probably isn't going anywhere, just because it feels safe at this price.
Is this better than Seasons Past?
Yeah. I think they're kind of different, right? Seasons Pass is just like generic good value card in whatever deck, whereas this is a little more, you know, build your deck around it and it can be really good. Like, I think the most common is going to be 2, just because of how many good 2s there are in basically every format.
Yeah.
So that's what I think with it. So I like it at $3.
I thought Phil liked this card a lot more than he seems to.
Well, I do, but, you know, how much of that is Magical Christmas Land? Now, in green, you're going to have plenty of mana, so in theory, if you do it for 3 drops, you know, counting Santa in that, actually, then, yeah, sure, you can get three drops and then be able to cast at least one of them on that turn. Okay.
You liked this card on Twitter, and now you've heard us shit on this whole set, and now all of a sudden you don't... You're not excited about anything, even cards you used to like a week ago.
Wearing off on him.
No,
I wish that you had more fortitude of will, and you could be like, you know what? Let people like things.
I like it, But what is the sweet spot, right? I feel a responsibility. I can be effusive and ebullient about these cards on Twitter, on my own podcast, but I feel like I have a responsibility, you know, to the people here who are tuning in and saying, please give us good financial advice.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the next card. I have strong feelings about the next card. Next up is Nimble Obstructionist. It's a 3-mana 3/1 flash flyer. It has cycling for 3. When you cycle it, counter target activated or triggered ability you don't control. A lot of people are very, very, very excited about this card. And I think this card is trash. So, if there was any card in the set that I could say don't touch at all or trade away, if we're talking $4 cards to trade for the $4 cards we like Uncaged Menagerie or Solemnity or whatever, right? This is the one. This card is garbage.
Corbin, give me a list of the activated or triggered abilities that you want to be countering in standard.
Well,
right,
one of them would have been sweet Aetherworks Armor, which you can't do anymore. It's not even about this card, right? That's a good ability, and you cycle and you get your value, and that's great. And a 3-1 flash flyer is not bad. The problem is it's so bad in standard right now because Temur Energy is one of the best decks in the formats. Multiple decks play Whirler Virtuoso, the card that can very easily spit out a bunch of 1/1 flyers that destroy Nimble Obstructionist. And even if you counter the ability, you're not really getting a lot of value out of it. You're cycling a card, you're paying 3 mana to stifle draw a card, right? And that's just kind of not good. And because there's not a lot of, you can get a Planeswalker, I guess, but Disallow's already in the format, so people are already used to playing around, countering triggered abilities or activated abilities. And 3-1 flash flyers, sure, in the worst case, you just get the flyer, but it just doesn't match up at all in standard right now. I just think that this is, speaking about standard, it's cool in commander, right? It's got stifle plus draw card is nice. And it's a wizard, and maybe it'll go in my Azami deck. In fact, it probably will, because that's kind of a sweet ability. But overall, it's just in standard, it's not worth $4. This card's going to be a buck. So this is one of the few cards in the set I have really strong opinions on.
Could this go away once we lose all those 1/1 flying dorks?
Let's see here. That card is in Kaladesh, so it rotates at the same time.
This card feels very much like Spirit of the Labyrinth or Pain Seer or other cards that are designed to look very close to other cards, but just end up being trash.
Yeah, this is like a fairy, man.
I mean, it is a cool card. It's just the one toughness that kills it, right? Whirler Virtuoso is all over the place in standard. There's just, Zombies has a bunch of removal for it. There's just not a lot. There's too many things that deal one damage a thing. There's infinite removal spells that kill it for less than it costs to play. And everyone's just really excited about it because the cycling ability is really cool. And that has led people to overvalue the card. So it's great in my Azami deck. It's going to be really fun to, because I already played the thing that when the 4-mana wizard that entered played countered triggered abilities, and when you played a blue spike, you return it to your hand. This seems better. I'd rather have stifle plus draw a card.
Is that Void Mage Pusher?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Let's look.
Cool.
Yes, the Void Mage Pusher. Which was cool, right? That card's nice. I think that Stifle plus Draw card's probably better than reusable Stifle, especially when you're trying to go off. But
so are we taking this because it's redundant to Stifle, but it draws you a card as well?
Yeah, I think. Well, in Commander, I think that it's fine, right? It's a nice effect. Countering triggered abilities or activated abilities in Commander is a much bigger deal than in Standard or most of the time even in Modern.
Yeah,
because a lot of times those abilities will end the game on the spot, right? If someone ultimates a Planeswalker that's going to combo with them or, you know, whatever, right? Uses whatever ability that's just going to go off. Now, one thing this doesn't do is, like Trick Bind, for instance, stops them from using it until the end of the turn. So this doesn't actually stop the Kiki, if they have a way to untap it, right? If they have more, they can still try to go off again. But it does still stop, like, just if they just have Kiki and a Resto Angel, it will counter the ability. It'll be tapped. You'll have a turn to deal with it. So I think the effect is worth playing in Commander. And at that point, the cycling with it is actually worth it, right? I'm willing to pay 3 mana for that. But the price right now is predicated on people wanting it in Standard, and it's just not going to hold up.
No.
All right, so moving on. Next one up is Crested Sunmare. Is this our horse?
Horses you control have indestructible.
Okay, so can we talk real briefly about the fact that there have been more horses printed at 5/5 than at 1/1?
Why do we care?
That doesn't make any sense. So you tell me a knight on horseback is a 2/2, but a horse by itself is a 5/5? There have been a lot of 5/5 horses.
Really?
A lot of them. Yeah, there's like Thundermare and like the green one, and there's this, and there's like the horse that you make from that red-black spell from...
those are a lot of like elemental like magic horses, though.
This
like,
card is, by the way, super overpriced at $350.
Like Din of the Fire Herd shows like a flaming hell, like a flaming hell steed.
Just for the record, like, this is overpriced at $350, right?
Yeah, it's a bulk mythic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about. Yeah, I mean, it's still a lord. Some people will. So maybe not bulk, but it's like 75 cents to a dollar.
Yeah, bulk mythics are a dollar.
This is gonna ruin your life,
or whatever.
Because you're going to sit down from some kid at the pre-release and he's going to have all these terrible life gain cards. And you're like, ha ha, this kid's playing life gain. And then he's like, Crescent Sunmare. And then,
well, yeah, it's certainly a nice limited card, but see, it's only other horses. Who cares?
Yeah. You can just kill the Crescent Sunmare. If you can kill a horse that's big enough to kill 5 men.
All right. Fair enough.
It's a Budweiser horse.
Okay, moving
just seems moving like a right on from that one. Sorry, that stuff sticks in my craw.
This is where we take the dip down to prices here. This is $3. Visage of Bolas. When Visage of Bolas enters the battlefield, you can search your library or graveyard for a card named Nicol Bolas to deceive or reveal it. Put it in your hand, blah, blah, blah. Tap to add mana. So it's a 4-mana mana rock that can go get
the Planeswalker. Nicol
Bolas the Deceiver, which is the intro deck Planeswalker one, and put it in your hand.
Yeah.
You're going to go buy somebody's like $10 collection, and this is going to be in the bulk that you paid $2 per thousand on, and you're going to pick this out, and it's going to pay for the entire collection just because you paid nothing on it. And then you buy a list it for like a dollar to Card Kingdom or whatever, and it's fine.
Yep. Stay away until it's worth nothing.
All right. Okay, let's talk about this next one. Bantu's Last Reckoning.
Yeah,
3 mana, black, generic. Destroy all creatures, land you control, don't untap during your next untap step. It's under $3 presale. This is one of those cards that super splits opinions because it's a very powerful effect on a very large drawback.
Yeah, your lands on tap, but like they don't have creatures.
I mean, think about it. Most games, they play a 2-drop and 3-drop. You're on the, you know, say you're on the draw or whatever, because you're never playing this on the play on turn 3 to kill their 2-drop. So you play it and you kill their 2 cards, and then they play 4-drop and you do nothing. Then they play 5-drop, and then you get a turn again. And I don't know. I guess it gets you to the 5-drop spot. But I don't think this is very good. I think a couple cards in the cycle are playable, but I don't think this is one of them.
I haven't seen anybody who likes this, really.
I think given all the ways we have to untap lands and other permanents in Commander, especially. I think this has a.
You think so? Even though there's a million 4-mana Wraths available. I mean, that's true. Black is a harder time.
If you can't afford Damnation, I could see people who can't afford Damnation paying this, but I don't know if that's gonna make it.
Yeah, I mean, more than in Commander, you can probably get away with it a little more because you're not immediately punished for taking a turn off.
Plus, you have mana rock, so even if your land's done on
it's certainly more playable in Commander than Constructed, I think. But I think it's...
Oh, Commander's not a Constructed 4-mana?
Whatever. it's probably going to be like $1.50, maybe $2, maybe.
I think the main spot for Bantu's Last Reckoning is modern sideboards against like hyper aggro decks where you have to kill them on
turn. But why would you be playing this instead of the 3-mana wipes that are actually good, like Anger of the Gods?
I think there's times when Anger doesn't kill like a 9-9 Death Shadow.
But there's no deck that where you need to wipe the board, right? You're not.
I mean, like Anger doesn't kill Grimflayer. Anger doesn't kill. Like, there's a lot of things that
right,
Anger
but like
cut
you don't need. You don't play Wrath against those decks. Grimflayer decks aren't go wide decks. They're play two creature decks. You know, sure. you're playing Fatal Pushes and Abrupt Decays, not Bantu's Lost Reckoning.
I mean, not right now.
Yeah.
What is the okay, say that the Magic Christmas Land scenario is actually right. What's the ceiling on
Four
this?
$4.
Like, how
no,
big
saying,
a dicks are we going to look like if this
it.
Card gets... No, I'm saying... I'm
what
saying,
if we're
like,
wrong?
What is the upside? I'm saying, what if we're wrong? Like, how much money could you actually make if you sure. bought it now and sold it at its peak?
Yeah, like, max upside, it goes from 2 to 5, and you feel like a god.
And you yeah, just feel like, so I don't yeah. need... That's... I could live with that if we're super wrong and like, oh, idiots, it went to 5. Like, I can live with that. We've been way wronger.
That is true. All right, so I'm gonna start naming some. We're getting to the chafe here. Is there anything you guys want to talk about as we go through this? Mirage Mirror is.
I was being a bit of a dick. I like Overwhelming Splendor, but I think it's going to be bulk. But I really like Bitterheart Witch and crap like that. I think this is it's really fun to single one person out and be like, ha ha,
like
humility
that card
for
too.
You in particular.
Yeah.
But it's bulk. Hour of Devastation?
I think they're, yeah, Hour of Devastation I like.
Kills gods.
So Hour of Devastation is the one that removes indestructible from creatures and then deals 5 damage to each creature and each non-bolus planeswalker for 5 mana. In a standard world where Wraths all cost 5 mana anyways, unless they're Bantu's Last Reckoning, this card seems super playable in blue-red and Grixis and curves you into your bolus decently.
This, I don't
it's
know if
three,
it goes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's 3 bucks,
like,
and that seems like the right
bucks?
Price. So.
Nope.
But it is playable.
I kind of like that it kills all the really annoying gods in EDH and leaves the durly ones alone.
Yeah.
It's like you can't do shit against Kara Metra.
Not killing
Oketra. Sure blow up Xenagos, so I kind of... Yep. Yeah, but you're going to rip Orphros' dick off. So, yeah, I kind of like that.
I will touch on Amit Eternal. It's a 5/5 for 3 with Afflict 3. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, put a -1 counter on it. When it deals combat damage to a player, remove all -1 counters on it. At $2 right now, I like this a lot, picking it up during pre-release. I think it'll find homes in Standard, whether that's zombies or just like a black aggro deck that sort of issues the zombie theme or post-rotation. At $2, this is a pretty safe place to park some money just on power level. You know, there's cards, maybe like Desecration sure. Demon's the best example, where they can be bold for a long time, and maybe the metagame turns into something that's good for them, maybe it doesn't. But the power level is simply high enough that it justifies the risk. And Amon Eternal at $2, $2 in trade at the pre-release this weekend is well worth the risk, so... I like that, especially if you have any interest in playing Standard. That's one of the cards I like.
Because you're
going
to trade a card that's going
down.
Yeah,
and even
sure.
if you're not, they're so cheap, mm-hmm. there's very little downside. And it might save you money. Well, you know, if they have a good weekend in a month and spike to $5 or something, you want to play the deck, well, now you've saved yourself $10 because you picked them up early.
I like the next two cards, actually.
Neheb and Torment of Hailfire?
Torment of Hailfire is like, it's just such a...
Yeah.
It's such a black card, and if you pump a lot of mana into it, they're going to just wish you'd exsanguinated and won the game. It's just, yep. if X equals like 7 in EDH, it's just going to be so brutal.
Yeah.
And it's like, how hard is it in a deck where you've got Nurkana Revenant and Crypt Ghast and...
Cabal Coffers.
Cabal Coffers and Urborg, and yeah, like... Torment's real good. And
so this
have,
is
it's going to give you so much red mana.
Yeah, this is the repeat the following process X times. It's X black black. Each opponent loses 3 life unless they sacrifice an on-land permanent
each.
Or discard a card. Yeah, I think it's very good.
And if you do it in two-headed giant, I just read the notes, each opponent
yep.
has to do it.
Yep.
They don't have to do the same thing, but they have to both do it.
Yeah, this definitely seems like probably an auto include in any Cabal Coffers commander deck.
At $2, like
Yeah, it's a beautiful card.
I mean, $2 again seems like the right price. You know, maybe $1.50, even like not more than $3. So,
I don't know, man.
Is this a standard card?
What's the 5-mana one? Like Relentless Punishment? That thing's a
Remorseless Punishment.
Remorseless Punishment. That's a true bulk rare. I think this is headed to the same spot.
I like Fraying Sanity at $1. Like, it's bulk already. Fraying Sanity is just, it's one of those cards.
What does it do?
At the beginning of each end step, enchanted player puts atop X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, where X is a number of cards put in that graveyard from anywhere this turn.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a remarkable card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DJ, I will disagree on it being Remorseless Punishment, though, because Remorseless Punishment doesn't scale. The whole point of a card like this, I mean, you know, if we were evaluating it at what it looks like at 5 mana, then I would agree it'd be bulk, right? But if we did the same thing with Exsanguinate, we would also call it bulk. But Exsanguinate's obviously insane, and it's black and commander. There, every deck runs Cabal Coffers, and that sort of thing scales just insanely well. I see the same logic for Exsanguinate applying to that card. I don't think that necessarily does a lot for the price anytime soon, but
yeah, I think if we judge, like, X spells by, like, what if X equals 10, then, like, that's like judging a Planeswalker by their ultimate.
Yeah, except that it's Commander.
What if X equals
and it's
3 on hit? Like, what if X equals 3? You're still going to be super unhappy with that. It's still going to fuck you up. So
yeah, I mean, it's that's true. It's also, like, it's kind of, I agree, it's not great at that, but we're talking about.
X equals 3 is target
no,
player
bro,
discards
it's
3
each
cards,
opponent.
Which is, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, this hits the whole table.
Yeah,
well, except for you.
And it's Commander, right? We don't need to. You're never casting Exsanguinate for 5 mana. You know, it's you get to play cards that scale up like that. That's the point.
Yeah, I don't think this is unreasonable to expect X to be somewhere around or higher than 7.
I understand what you're saying. I just don't think it's a true bulk rare. I don't think.
I mean, I think it's probably going to be a buck, right? But it is a card that I would take in the long term.
Yeah. You don't see it being played in standard, right?
There are only a few cards that I would actually pay cash for at their current price. And they're both, I would say, Fraying Sanity and Swarm Intelligence are cards I would actually buy at their current price.
Okay.
I like Claim to Fame.
Yeah? That's not one of the ones I actually liked.
Claim to Fame is the thing that might be really good with Death Shadow. Sorcery, return target creature card with converted main cost to a lesser from your graveyard to battlefield, 1 mana. The backside of it gives target creature +2/+0 in haste. I agree. Like, giving just playing this in your Jun, like a 1/2/2/0 in your Jun deck, your Jun Death Shadow deck, or your Grixis Death Shadow deck, and just having this in your deck for later in the game, in the grindy matchups, to just be like, well, we're both top decking. Oh, my top deck is not, like, it's not just a Death Shadow. It's a Death Shadow with haste, right? And it's a very low cost, you know. It's $1.35. Again, it's an uncommon, so, like, it's going to be 50 cents, I think. But I do think the card will be played. So, yeah. Okay. Well, anything else in the set you guys want to touch on before we get out of here?
Now, do you have a policy where you have to talk about a cat?
What?
I'm just looking at Adorned Pouncer. I think that the secret tribe that we'll see in Commander 2017
That'd
is actually
sweet.
Cat Tribal. The Cat Dragon clinches
Pride
it for
Sovereign.
Me, right?
Or whatever.
I think we're going to see this card. I think we're going to see this card in Commander. I don't think it's ever going to be worth anything
Agreed.
In terms of, you know, absolute penny dollars. But this thing is a double strike.
Yeah, so this is the 2-mana 1/1 double strike kitty with Eternalize for 5, I believe, right?
Yeah. You pay 5 mana, then you put it into play, and then your Anointed Procession says put another one into play. And then your Doubling Season says put another one into play. And then your Tristani says gain 12 life. This set's real weird. There's a lot of cards that, like, I liked for EDH, and then I look at the price and they're like 20 cents and I'm like, that's awesome.
They mess up. They have a lot of trouble with this recently in Standard, where some sets they decide that they're pushing power, some sets they decide they're pushing flavor, and they just play so poorly together, especially because of the rotation change back to 2 years from 18 months. We're still, like, everything's still defined by Gideon. You just have all this stuff. So, you know, Hour of Devastation looks pretty weak in comparison, but that's just because the power level on Battle for Zendikar in Kaladesh was super pushed.
Well, okay, so this is Dragon's Maze, right? So what's Voice of Resurgence in this set? Don't tell me it's Nicol Bolas.
Could be.
Where's the value going to come from? Is that going to be in the Masterpieces rather than a relevant card? Is there anything good like Voice of Resurgence that can impact multiple formats? Like, what are we super wrong on? What are we missing that we're going to look like idiots in 3 months? What are we missing? Because this set looks like a pile of worthless crap, but even Dragon's Maze had that one card that was like, oh, I should have pre-ordered this for 21.
I mean, maybe it's claim to fame, right? Maybe it's something like that. And
that's uncommon.
It's not going to eat up a bunch, but just looking at cards that maybe we're wrong on, that is a card that we know is good, and a lot of this we think is just bad, and that's the thing, right? We knew the Voice of Resurgence was good. We just thought, oh, it'll all go down. So if we look at cards in the set we know are good, Claim to Fame is one of them, I guess. That's a thing. Like, I do think Nicol Bolas is good. Bolas has a lot going for it in terms of popularity that is not tied to Standard or Commander or whatever. It's just tied to the character. That's why I'm not willing to bet on Bolas, like, hitting $8 or whatever 2 months from now, because it just has a lot going for it, and it has to go somewhere. Like, Solemnity could be $4 forever and never hit two like we think. Because you know it does something. The Excavator is another card we know is good, and maybe the price is just isn't going to move. You know, because we always look at it and say, oh, everything's priced in at this point. But a lot of times it's not, especially in a set that's bad. It sort of has to find its way. And honestly, Amonkhet did the same thing, and you saw some cards tick up that were a dollar coming out, ended up at two or three. And, you know, maybe the Excavator is it. Maybe it just
And maybe there's not the as price. Much downward pressure on this, because, like, who's really... Who's buying as many boxes of this as they bought of, like, Kaladesh?
Well, yeah, that's true.
There are a lot of deserts that sacrifice themselves, right?
There are a lot of cool deserts. That theme in this set is awesome.
It's going to be great for Limited.
I think that's what the Excavator is for.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I guess that seems too slow for Standard, though.
Is it?
Sticking around with deserts? I don't know.
I mean, none of the deserts are super powerful. They're all really cool, but... I mean, at least in current Standard, they're not strong enough.
You're just There's a get, safe haven.
You're just going to get killed by zombies or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. See, I don't play Standard. I don't know. I just see a lot of deserts going to the graveyard. I wonder if Ixalan will follow up on that theme of lands being sacrificed.
Yeah, there are islands that will be sacrificed full of dinosaurs, and the pirates will have to...
I'm looking forward to Ixalan. I know that. But yeah, I mean, this... So, I don't know. That's... I think if we were going to take something from Dragon's Maze, it's... And from other things, it's... Sometimes maybe we assume this stuff's going to go down just because it's supposed to and it's safe to do. And at the same time, it has to go somewhere. And maybe if there's nothing, you know, if we're not just, we're either completely missing on something or the value is just going to go into the cards we know are good. And I'd rather bet on those holding prices to an extent more than I'd bet on us being wrong and something going up fivefold or whatever.
But we didn't really look at anything that's a dollar right now. We just sort of yada yada.
I mean, but I've looked at all of them and nothing, there's nothing. I am an Eternal's the one I called out, right? That's... You know, that's the one I believe has a shot. It could easily be a dollar in a week. And you know, so that's if I'm picking one card that maybe we're wrong on, maybe is massively underpriced. I mean, that's probably the one I'm looking at.
And I love, you know, like I love my EDH long-term holds. I love Swarm Intelligence in like 2 years.
It also and Frank Sanity. Maybe it could be
anything,
the sweet
card.
Maybe the sweet 8-mana enchantment that wrecks a player. Maybe there'll be some way to make it work, because that card's awesome.
I like that card with the old curses. I like the old curses, because we've been getting like one or two per like set this block. And I actually like the Bitter Heart Witch and like the Curse of Misfortunes, like the Cursed Tutors. That way you search for the 8-mana one just for Commander. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the white card that puts you up to 20 life for 3 mana and then you don't untap is good in Modern. I think that'll probably be a good Modern Cyborg card. So that's something, I'm not sure what the price on it is right now. And the name,
it's a bulk rare.
Yeah, so like that's something that I'm happy picking up at bulk rare prices, because that card's good. You know, you get down to I mean, maybe there's a lot of life gain spells, and maybe you don't need that one. But it seems like you get down to probably, you know, you're never going to be, you're unlikely to be at 2 or 3, or whatever. But you can get down to somewhere between 6 and 8, and then gain 3 to 4 of their draw steps off of it, and then not untapping isn't so bad, especially if you're in a deck that can handle the creatures they have, and you're just looking to, you know, get out of the range of the burn at the end. So I can see that in a lot of sideboards in Modern. That said, they're printing more and more cards that just gain you a bunch of life now, and I think there's even one in this set that just, like, gains you 10 life or something for 2 mana.
What do you think of Wildfire Eternal?
I think it's a bulk rare.
So Wildfire Eternal is the...
It reminds me of Tribute from...
4 mana, 1/4.
Yeah.
Where they just, like, pick whichever one.
The entire Afflict mechanic.
Yeah, 4 mana, 1/4, Afflict 4. When it attacks and isn't blocked, you may cast an instant or sorcery from your hand without paying its mana cost. I don't know.
What, is there anything in Standard that you want to be casting for free like this?
I mean, there's certainly a lot of expensive instants and sorceries you can play. Now, I don't know if there's any other enablers, which is what you would need for this to fit into a deck.
I mean, is it enough to just cast Harness Lightning with this for free and get value like that? Is that enough?
I think the problem...
Something like this?
The problem is that... The decks that really want to cast something, like the decks that want to pay 4 mana for a 1/4, basically to me would be like a like the blue red control deck. Maybe they don't really have any spells they really want to cast off of this, and I don't see it being good in an aggressive deck.
It's the buy a box promo anyway. Relevant. So like,
Phil, was there anything we didn't mention that you like that sort of like not that much money, but you sort of like for EDH?
No, actually, we covered it all. I only mentioned Pride Sovereign in my notes in case Cat Tribal is a thing in Commander 2017. But I think Adorned Pouncer is pretty good. We've talked about all of that. How do you guys feel about the full art lands? Like, are these just things that you do? You just pick up as many full art lands as you can because they're all going to reach $1 eventually.
Well, I think the thing with the full art lands is, there's so many full art lands now, they're not guaranteed to hit $1. You know, they certainly, like when BFs, or not even, when original Zendikar came out and we got sort of our third look at full art lands, it was like, yeah, these are going to be great. There's, you know, the other ones are all $4 to $5. You know, this is really going to go somewhere. But now we did that. We had BFC. They had BFC fat pack boxes with them. Now we had Amonkhet full art lands. Now we have these full art lands. There's Judge Full Art Lands, although I guess that's probably a different demographic. There's just a lot of options for Full Art Lands now.
Yeah, and like, the unset in December.
These are never going to hit $1 ever again.
They become less and less impressive every time they get print. They do Full Arts, you know? And they're still cool, but financially they become less and less relevant. That said, I like the Bolas Lands, foil or probably even non-foil. I like them better than I like most BFC lands, to be honest. Because Bolas. Like, I think that goes a long way. It's like, and I actually found one of these picking through bulk last night, and DJ's the one who I have to credit with this from back in the day when he taught me this or whatever. But it's like the ones that show Glen Alondra from Lorwyn. Those are like $5, $6 lands or something insane in foil. And the non-foils are expensive. And it's for no reason at all other than like basically flavor. And to me, that's kind of what I look at the Bolas lands as. It's the art on them's all fine, but if I'm given a choice between generic Battle for Zendikar land, not talking about whichever is the most popular artwork or whatever, but just a generic Battle for Zendikar land versus a Bolas land, I'm taking the Bolas land. So I just collect them all. I put them in the store in a 50-cent box for people if they want them. I take all the foils and I hold them back for the long term, though. So that's my take. I don't know what you guys think about them.
I try to just flip the foils as soon as I can get them.
Yeah.
I'm not in the strategy of holding foil full art lands for the long term. I'm just like buy them and then.
Yeah.
Because they've demonstrated that they don't want them to be special anymore. They'll fart them out whenever they feel like it.
They will do that to an extent. I don't know. Like, I can flip them, I guess.
It dilutes everything. So, like, why would...
I feel like I'm less likely to just sell one full art foil Amonkhet land than I am 2 years from now when I have 300 of them or whatever to sell somebody a set of 10. You know, it seems like something somebody always buys.
You're gonna
more
pay
than
all that money and sit on them for 2 years to make one sale?
Well, I don't think I'm selling. That's what I'm saying is I think I'm. That's probably what happens anyways. So I may as well just keep them all together. And hey, maybe I'll put them in my own decks or whatever. You know,
I'm actually kind of. They do so much full art now. How are they gonna make the ones in the unset special?
That's a good question.
They'll have squirrels on them.
I mean, like literally, what do they do?
I think the unset is stupid, period, but...
Well, the lands were the redeeming quality of it, and if exactly. those aren't even special, then, like, it's just going to be real dumb idea.
Very, very, very few cards in the unsets are worth anything, because people will draft the set once, and then, or open a pack or two for fun, and then never touch it again, and the lands are the only thing that propped them up.
Right.
Well, they admitted that the problem with Unhinged was that they printed it to the same demand as a standard legal set. So they printed as much Unhinged as they did Mirrodin when they realized in hindsight that they should have done it like a Commander's Arsenal kind of print run or like a much lower print run to just sort of scale and recognize like, okay, like 25% of the people who like play regular Magic are going to want this. We just need to cut our print run by like 75%.
That's why I think
if they do
just...
that, I could see it actually being kind of cool because like some of the stuff could end up being a little bit dear.
But I bet they don't. I bet they just print it to demand like Conspiracy. Even if the initial print run is low, they'll just print more of it. It's not going to be a limited run.
Yeah, they'll find the print. They'll just match the print run as it comes or match the demand.
But I think
as
it's
comes.
Just stupid because like the anthology stuff or whatever, right? Those don't cost. They've already put in all the work. They just have to kind of put that together and release it, and it's pretty easy. Like they have to. They're designing an entire set with this, and no one's gonna want it after the first
week.
They
said that Mark Rosewater basically had the entire set at the ready.
You know
for
what? That's probably true. Well, they still have to commission the art, but yeah. Like
yeah, that sounds.
Anyways, that's just my like
exactly
tangent
like
on why
happened.
I think it was a. I think it's just a dumb decision. I there's a lot of people who are really gonna like it. And then they're going to be over it in 2 weeks, and it's whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's
no,
waste,
I agree.
It's a wasted release.
I was very surprised when they
like. I honestly
it.
Thought they were scratching that itch with Conspiracy, because you got kind of like weird, crazy stuff that you couldn't get. And
no, that's exactly yeah. And you saw how well Conspiracy.
But can you imagine?
It's not.
Can you imagine what it was like in that office with Mark constantly asking for another?
They're like,
onset.
Just give it to him. Just give
Aaron
it to him.
Had to give
he'll
it to
he'll
him.
Not
just,
bring it up.
Just,
we can get it. If we just give it to him this year, we can get away for another decade without hearing about it.
He got that in lieu of a raise.
Yeah, he definitely would have.
He probably would have done that.
Anyways. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get out of here. I know we went pretty long. Phil, thank you for coming on, man. We really appreciate your insight and hanging out with us. So where can people reach you at?
Oh, well, people can reach me on Twitter at KETJAK, and that's Ketjak. But the podcast is at Commander and MTG, and the website for the podcast is CommanderandMTG.com. And I really want to say thanks for having me on here. I told Jason when he texted me about it, I was like, wait, I have to not be a fanboy? Like, how can I do this? Because I was listening to you guys, like, you know, when I started this, you had the production quality and you really served kind of as a, you really served, not even kind of, as a bar for us when we started this. Thanks for doing this for as long as you have. You've been an inspiration to us. And I'm sure you've been an inspiration to other podcasts, too. I don't know how many of them have gushed about
no
you.
No one even... We'll make eye contact.
No one,
with us,
so. Most people know better than to say nice things to Jason because he's just mean to him. But I'll speaking for myself. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're a nerd, Phil.
Well. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. Phil, thank you for coming on. Everybody, thanks for sticking with us through the set review. Go listen to Commander and go check it out. Follow Phil on the social medias, and we'll see you guys next week.